Hello, this is Robert Rickover at Body Learning, and today my guest is Joanne Widner, who's an Alexander Technique teacher in Richmond, Virginia. Joanne is also a registered nurse, and she has a Master of Science in Exercise Physiology. And we're going to talk today about how the Alexander Technique can be useful for someone who's suffering from rheumatoid arthritis. And I guess we're going to shorten that to RA in our conversation. Joanne, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Robert.
Joanne, could you begin by just giving our listeners a very short description of the Alexander Technique?
Sure. The Alexander Technique, first of all, is an educational process. It's been around for quite a while, over 100 years. And in the Alexander Technique, we use a combination of observation and verbal suggestions and gentle hands-on guidance to help people improve how they balance, how they move, and the overall coordination of their body.
Mm-hmm. And I know that you have suffered from RA yourself.
Right. I still have RA. Once you have it, RA can go into remission, but it usually comes back. And so I had my first symptoms of RA way back in my 20s, but it really wasn't much there, just some kind of chronic tendonitis, and it was not diagnosed at that time. Mm-hmm. I had symptoms that kind of came back in my 30s again and in my 40s. And then as I got into my 50s, I guess I'm telling my age here, it came on kind of like a steamroller. And I have RA now.
Mm-hmm. And your original interest in the Alexander Technique, was it a result of that, or was it a different reason that you investigated the Alexander Technique?
I think it was a kind of a combination of things. I've been in nursing for a long time. I graduated from nursing school back in 1984, and I worked with a lot of people who had chronic disease, and I was very interested in helping them find ways that they could improve their quality of life. Especially with these diseases that we don't have a cure or we don't have a treatment that's going to completely alleviate their symptoms. And a lot of times, lifestyle measures will make things much better. So I was very interested in health education, health promotion, and complementary therapies. And I kind of stumbled over the Alexander Technique, really. I think I was always open to something that someone might mention to me. And an Alexander teacher opened a practice very near to my home. And I thought, well, that's really convenient. Let me go check this out. And I was just blown away by it. It was so effective. And it gave me a lot of relief from the aches and pains that I had. And some of those aches and pains, I think, were just the stress of modern day life and working in healthcare. But there was probably a little bit of RA there that made me perhaps feel those aches and pains more than I would have otherwise. But I still was not diagnosed at the time. So that's kind of conjecture on mm-hmm. my part.
Mm-hmm. So you started taking lessons, and then obviously at some point you decided to enroll in a Alexander teacher training course, which
right.
is typically a 3-year program, pretty intensive study.
Mm-hmm.
Over that period of time, I assume then that you noticed the symptoms that you didn't perhaps realize were RA related, but that were there, lessened. Would that be fair to say?
Oh, definitely. Mm-hmm. Because I had some movement habits, despite the fact that I come from an exercise background and I'm a horseback rider. And, you know, I've always tried to cultivate good alignment of my spine, and I've always loved movement. and which is really hard to have RA when you're a movement person, by the way. But knowing what I do about the Alexander technique and how to move, it helps me a great deal. And yes, I was getting relief. Alexander technique is not a treatment for RA. If you have RA, you need to be seen by a rheumatologist and be on the medications that help actually keep the disease from progressing. But Alexander can be a way to help improve your quality of life, help you do activities of daily living much more easily than you could otherwise.
Now, you had mentioned earlier that there are a number of what we could call, I suppose, lifestyle interventions that someone with RA can make to improve their situation, none of which are cures. And of course, as you said, the Alexander technique is certainly not a cure for disease. What would you say from your experience, and both as as a nurse and someone working in the field of exercise physiology, and your own experience, what is it about the Alexander technique that distinguishes it from other lifestyle modifications, if you want to call it that?
That's a really great question. I think because it is a mind-body technique, and I think the mind-body techniques are particularly powerful because they approach whatever the problem is from a whole person perspective. And the Alexander technique helps us on so many fronts. First of all, it helps on the physical side of things because you learn how to move in ways that protect your joints and take the strain off of the joints. And then it also helps with the fatigue. Fatigue is a huge factor with RA. And I think many times when people think of someone with RA, they think of swollen or painful joints, but they don't realize that the fatigue that comes with it can be just as much of a block in keeping you from doing the things that you enjoy doing as the joint pain. And then finally, I think Alexander technique helps us from the mental side of things. Because we work with our thinking and with how we respond to a stimulus, we can use that whole approach. We get very skillful with that, and we learn to identify thoughts that are perhaps not helpful. And instead of just reacting and being down the pike with that thought, we can pause and we can say, wait a minute, is that helpful? If it is, let's keep it. If it's not, how can we approach this differently? So I think the Alexander technique helps us on several fronts.
Mm-hmm. Now, I mean, generally, the Alexander technique is known for helping people improve the way in which they stand and sit and move. Mm-hmm. But with someone who has RA, would it be your take on it that they... that's a more crucial thing for them to address than a typical person, or is there something about having RA that itself tends to inadvertently encourage some harmful movement patterns? So, on that basis, the Alexander technique is particularly useful. Does that make sense? It's kind of, I'm trying to zero in on what's special about the Alexander technique, which, has a pretty good general reputation for helping people with their posture and coordination. What's really special about it for an RA sufferer?
Well, both the things you mentioned are important. We tend to not give much thought to a lot of our everyday activities until they begin to cause us pain. And when you have RA, you often have generalized inflammation. It can be at a low level, or it may be really flaring into high gear. And you often have several joints that are painful. And so if you know how to sit in a chair which is a really simple thing. We do that all the time, right? But it's not so simple. There's
well,
a way.
It's not so simple to do it well. Let's put it that way.
Exactly. Yeah. It's exactly. Right. To do it well, to find proper support, to be in a position where you're neutral, but you're balanced and open, versus kind of the cycle of, oh, I must sit up straight. Gee, I'm getting really tired. Let me slump a minute. And going through that repeatedly, we can break that cycle and help someone find a way to balance. That's much more helpful to them. They don't get as tired and their joints don't hurt as much. Mm-hmm. But also your second point, yes, if someone is in pain, they're going to guard around that painful joint. And there's a way to protect a joint. Because guarding is not necessarily bad in and of itself. If a joint is inflamed, we do want to immobilize it to a certain extent so that it's not damaged. Joints that are inflamed are very easily injured, and so we don't want to stress them. So the Alexander technique helps us not stress the joints in the first place. But if we do have pain and we're trying to compensate a little bit and protect that joint, there's a way to protect it with your whole body so that you're in balance and you're not compromising other parts of your body and trying to protect where you hurt.
Mm-hmm. So could you, do you in your own teaching practice, do you have any students who have RA?
I do.
Could you say a word or two to someone listening to this podcast who does have RA, who's intrigued enough possibly to consider taking Alexander lessons, what happens when they get to your door and they come for their first lesson? Do you have a special protocol for working with them? Or do you work with them pretty much the same way you would with anybody? And however you do it, could you just say a little bit about what someone might expect who came to you for Alexander lessons?
Okay. Well, everyone is unique, first of all. And in a way, I would treat someone with RA the same as everyone else because everyone is unique and the person coming in the door with RA is unique. I first of all sit down and talk with them a little bit about why they've come for lessons, what it is that they need help with, and sometimes someone doesn't really know; they just have heard that this might help them, so they're going to give it a try, and so I'll talk with them about where they have pain, are certain movements difficult for them, just do a general assessment. And then we get to work pretty quickly, and I help them get a better sense of their balance and how they create balance. And we can do that standing, we can do that sitting, we can do that walking. We adjust the activity to what the person needs. And we might even address a specific movement if, for example, opening a door is difficult for them. We would work specifically on that. How can you approach a door and use your whole body to support that movement so that if your wrists or hands are painful, they're not taking the brunt of that movement?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. And over time, would that general pattern continue? That is to say, you would work with people in activities pretty much the same way that you would with students that did not have RA?
I think overall, yeah. It's always, tailored to the needs of the individual person.
Mm-hmm.
In a regular Alexander lesson, if there's such a thing as a generic Alexander lesson.
Which there isn't, mercifully.
We work a lot with the monkey or position of mechanical advantage. Mm-hmm. And that's just such a useful movement, knowing how to bend at the hips without creating compression there and with keeping the head, neck, and back in proper relationship.
Mm-hmm. Could you describe that a little bit more for our listeners? What monkey is a kind of Alexander jargon term for a certain way of standing? Not that you would be doing it all the time, but maybe you could describe that so people have some sense of what you're talking about and why it's so useful.
Right. If you were, say, going to pick up a book from a table, and the table's lower than you are, and you're going to have to bend to a certain extent to pick up that book, someone with RA, typically RA, will strike the hands and wrists particularly hard, although it can strike any synovial joint in the body, any freely movable joint. And so someone with RA will be told, you want to use the largest joints possible to pick up that book. So instead of using your fingers to pick up the book, you want to bend down a little bit more and slide your hands under the book and pick up the book with your hands. And that way you're distributing the weight of the book over the larger joints that are available to help with the task. But what often gets left out is, well, how do you create that bending down, that lowering down in a way that is going to not cause pain in your back or your knees or your hips? And so the monkey, or position of mechanical advantage, which is such a mouthful, that's why everyone says monkey, is a matter of, first of all, pausing and thinking and organizing one's alignment and thinking about where can I create a little bit of freedom in my joints, where can I create a little bit of freedom in my ankles and knees and hips. And then we say let those knees go forward and away. So we get a little bit of a bend, and the body is then lowered. And then someone can tip forward from their hips, and they keep the alignment of the head, neck, and back so that the back is not compromised in any way, the neck is not compromised in any way. And then they can scoop with their hands and bring that book towards themselves, closer to their body, and then they stand up.
Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of, part of that is simply learning on yourself where those key joints are, their ankle, knee, and hip joint. A lot of people have incorrect perceptions of where they're located, particularly hip joint, as I'm sure you've noticed over the, the teaching. So it's a way of accustoming yourself to using the joints that are designed for bending when you bend, instead of what you see a lot of people doing is basically collapsing their chest or curving their spine way forward in ways that aren't all that helpful. So that would certainly be something, I think you said earlier, that RA patients are generally advised to use larger joints than smaller ones, right?
Right.
And using, when you go into a monkey to pick up something, you're really using the big joints, the hip joint being the biggest of all in our body. I guess that's true, isn't it? Yeah, the hip joint is certainly a pretty huge joint. So that kind of fits in with that philosophy of using your body in the best way possible given what the constraints on you are.
Right. Okay. And you know, if you have RA and you're listening and you're thinking, well, you know, my hips and knees really hurt too.
Yeah.
Which is often the case. Many joints are involved. You still many times can create this monkey business. But because we work so carefully with balance and the counterbalances that are built into the body, when the knees go forward and the hips go back, the weight is distributed more evenly over those joints. So no one particular joint is taking the brunt of the force.
Yes, exactly. And I think probably as a practical matter for someone who's listening, you're going to want to have some direct instruction on that, because
right.
you can pretty easily deceive yourself. So that's where an Alexander teacher could come in, could be pretty handy. Is there anything else that we haven't covered that you would like to mention before we come to an end?
There are a couple of things. I would like to mention that something that all Alexander teachers teach their students is called constructive rest. And this is lying down in a on your back, and we help you find a way to elevate your head so that the head, neck, and back are in proper alignment, and then the knees are flexed. And this is something we encourage all our students to do because it helps them learn neutral alignment. It also teaches them to take a break. And when you have RA, you do need to take frequent breaks because it's very easy to get overtired. Mm-hmm. And it's much better to pace yourself rather than try and charge ahead. Learning how to do this constructive rest is a very valuable skill that can be helpful with RA. And I'd also like to say that when you have RA, it really does turn your world upside down. And it takes some adjusting. And if you can assemble a team, you're going to feel much better in terms of having support and not feeling like you're going it alone. And you know, that's going to include a rheumatologist. That's going to include perhaps a nurse case manager, a pharmacist, and physical therapist or occupational therapist. You can kind of decide who's going to be most helpful to you. But I would definitely add an Alexander Technique teacher because they're a very supportive and patient lot. And
We are, aren't we? Yeah.
And we are a pretty understanding lot. So I would really encourage people to check it out.
Uh-huh. And I would think also, certainly one thing about the Alexander Technique is that it does kind of put you in charge of yourself, because we teach people how to manage their, I guess we could say, their physical body in a more efficient way. And that can be pretty empowering, not just people with RA, people in general, but I would think certainly someone who has RA, that kind of empowerment would be a pretty good thing to have.
You know, that's just an excellent point, and I'm really glad you mentioned that because, yeah, you do feel like you've lost a certain amount of control. RA can be kind of unpredictable. You can be feeling pretty well and then boom, you'd have a flare and you'd feel pretty rotten and you have to kind of change all your plans. But having a technique and having a mindset that, okay, well, where are we now? Let's pause. Let's think. Mm-hmm. Let's figure this out. That is really helpful and it is empowering.
Well, this might be a good place to bring our interview to a close. If you are suffering from RA and any of this any of what we've talked about appeals to you, certainly if you're in the Richmond area, Richmond, Virginia, contact Joanne. We'll put a link to her website by the interview. And if you're somewhere else, we'll also put a link to a website where you can locate a teacher anywhere in the world. Joanne, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Oh, thank you, Robert. My pleasure.